As a church, we've been slowly working our way through the Gospel of Matthew. And today we enter Matthew chapter 10, which is the second of the five teaching blocks we find in the book. And in chapter 10, Jesus commissions his disciples and gives them instructions for their mission to Israel. At the end of Matthew, we have the Great Commission, the mandate to take the gospel to all people, to every culture, to every age. But here in chapter 10, the mission is specifically to the Israelites. Our reading today, though, started at the end of chapter 9, where Jesus has gone to all towns and villages preaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and every sickness. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, as they were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus said to his disciples, in chapter 9, verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields." The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Oh, how often is that still the case, that there's still so much work to do and so few people willing to do it? And chapter 10 starts with Jesus calling his 12 disciples to him and giving them authority to drive out evil spirits, to heal every disease and every sickness. And in chapter 10, verse 2, he calls the disciples apostles. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, meaning he who is sent or commissioned. So here we have Jesus sending out the 12. And you know, I love the symmetry that we find in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we had the 12 tribes of Israel. And here in the New Testament, we have the 12 apostles. Jesus really making a claim that his new order will succeed the 12 tribes of Israel. Not in a political or geographical sense, but in the sense that they are going to be the primary vehicle for taking the blessings of God to the whole world. A task originally given to Abraham. And as Jesus sent out the apostles, he gave them specific instructions to follow. Firstly, they were to go and preach the message, "The kingdom of heaven is near." And they were to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who had leprosy and drive out demons. Secondly, they were not to charge for the work. Jesus said, "Freely you've received, freely give." They were also told to travel lightly. This meant they needed to rely on God for their provisions rather than relying on their own strength. And how often do we need to be reminded to rely on God and not to do things in our own strength? We live in a society where we have so much and it's easy for us to be independent rather than being dependent on God. Thirdly, they were told to be careful where they stayed. They needed to stay with people of good reputation and not move about to get better conditions. If the house they stayed in was deserving, they were to let their peace dwell on it. Peace here, in a sense, is a true blessing. It's the effect which depended on the person who spoke it, as well as the worthiness of the recipient. But if they found that their message was rejected, they were to shake the dust off their feet, a symbol, a gesture of the sign of judgment that's going to come on the last day. Verse 16 tells us that Christian mission is dangerous. The disciples were being sent out like sheep amongst wolves and were warned to be on their guard. However, if they were able to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves, then accusations levelled against them would be false. When we face persecutions, it's easy to lose hope and to start to despair. But Jesus promises in verse 22 that he who stands firm to the end will be saved. As I was preparing for today, I was really reminded of the marks of mission of the Church of England. I don't know how many of you know the five marks of mission, so I'll just go through them quickly for you. Number one, proclaim the good news. 2. Baptise and nurture new believers. 3. Respond to human need by loving service. 4. Change society's unjust structures, challenging violence of every kind and pursuing peace and reconciliation. 5. Safeguarding the integrity of creation. This is exactly what Jesus was telling the 12 apostles to do. They were to go and make disciples of people. They were to proclaim the good news. They were to go and baptise and nurture new believers. They were to respond to human need by loving service. They were to challenge unjust structures and safeguard the integrity of creation. And you know, we're challenged to do exactly those things as well. In a time of national lockdown, it's easy to make excuses about being missionary minded. How can we go out and proclaim the good news when we're in the midst of this lockdown? Well, at the moment, we certainly can't go and do what we've always had done in the past. But are there ways we can do these? Are there new and innovative ways we could be finding? Well, at the moment, we can't go and invite people to come to a physical church service, but we can invite them to look at our online services. We can't meet them for a coffee and a chat, but we could do that virtually. And there are other ways we can engage with people. At school, I've been engaging with our parents a lot more by phone calls and by email, since I can't meet with them face to face. And actually, I found that this has opened opportunities for me that I haven't had before, and opened them in a way I didn't expect. Being a head teacher of a maintained school, I've always been very careful not to push my faith onto other people. I'm there as head teacher, I'm not there to preach, and I'm not there to convert people. However, lockdown has given me opportunities. When I've had email conversations with parents, I have often offered to pray for them as they've been talking to me about some really personal things in their lives. Recently, I've been praying for one of our families who asked me to pray for brother and parents who were seriously ill with COVID. This is a devout Muslim family and they know that I'm a Christian. But when I offered to pray, they accepted that offer of prayer. And yesterday, I heard that the brother has just come out of hospital, which is a real answer to prayer. I've also been able to work really hard on the third mark of mission, responding to human need by loving service. I've spoken to you as a church before about the many food parcels and things that we've given out to our families. And that work is intensified during Tier 4, during lockdowns. The need is ongoing. And so last week I was delighted when a charity in Chichester contacted me and offered to make some weekly donations to families in need. And the first of those donations arrived this week. And that included fresh provisions rather than the tinned food and the staple food that normally comes from the food bank. As a school, we've also pledged to stand up against unjust structures in society. We're doing a lot to stand up against racism. We're looking at how we can change the school curriculum to give a voice to the voiceless. These are some small steps that we're taking as a school. And I just wanted to ask you, what steps can you take that will make a difference? How are you going to respond to the challenge from today's gospel to go?